Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience. So they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus left the place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Today's gospel lesson is perhaps one of the most uncomfortable exchanges that we find in the gospel. At least it's uncomfortable for me. We're faced with a picture of Jesus that doesn't quite sit well with our idea of our Lord. Here is Jesus walking through this town, and he's approached by this woman who is not Jewish, and she tells him that her daughter is dealing with a case of possession. And he deals with her at first quite harshly. The disciples say, "Get rid of her, she keeps bothering us." And he says for her to go away, and she persists in asking, and then he says, It's not fair to give the food from the table to the dogs." And of course she comes right back at him and says, "Yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs." It's always sort of bothered me, this story. Made me uncomfortable. And I've heard a lot of explanations, because I think we like to make excuses for this exchange. We like to say, "Oh, well, this is Jesus acting out a parable. This is Jesus trying to teach his disciples to be merciful." But somehow I don't think that Jesus would use the anguish of a mother as a teachable moment. I think there's something else that's going on here. And in order for us to understand, I think we have to really look at what happens right before this section of the gospel, and then look at what happens right after. That's a useful exercise for any scripture reading. Don't just take the little section that's sort of cut out for us in the lectionary. Look at the whole picture. Try to find out where it's sitting. Because if you look at this reading, you know that Jesus has been traveling for a while. His ministry is one of constant movement. He goes from place to place. He's itinerant. And he's followed by this band of disciples who, well, are not always the best listeners, and are not always the brightest students. And then, not too far before today's gospel, Jesus begins to look for a place to sort of be alone. I love those times in the gospel. As a teacher, I know those moments. Those little snatches of the day when you don't have people coming to ask something of you. If you're a parent, you know those moments. If you are a person in general, you know those moments. And Jesus can't seem to catch a break. Wherever he goes, somebody finds him, brings him back. And then we get the story of the execution of John the Baptist. John, Jesus' cousin, his friend, is killed. And the disciples come back and they tell him that that's happened. And Jesus goes on with his ministry. But there are still moments where he tries to find time to be alone, including the moment that we had last week when Jesus goes off onto the mountain and then he comes back because the boat starts to get rocky and the disciples are sort of disturbed by that and he deals with that for them. So Jesus has not really had time to himself. He's not had time to heal or grieve for John either. And I think that it's very easy for us to look at Jesus and acknowledge the divinity, the fact that Jesus is God here among us. But we forget that the incarnation that we believe in means that Jesus is equally human as well. So that time that Jesus is not getting is important. And I think that that may be why, at this moment, Jesus is struggling a bit. In this moment, when we think that Jesus should be completely divine, we see a glimpse of his humanity. Here are the disciples sort of harping at him, saying, "Send this woman away." And I can imagine Jesus, a very human Jesus, saying, "All right, fine. That's what you want. Send her away. Go away." Now, it would be one thing if Jesus left it at that. But he doesn't. I love these moments when we have glimpses of Jesus' humanity. Those moments when he does seek that time by himself to regroup, to just gather his thoughts. I love even this moment when we see Jesus sort of pushed to the limits of his patience. Because this is the reason that we find glory and comfort in the incarnation. God isn't a high and lofty, unreachable God. God is a God that has been here, has pitched a tent among us, knows what it is to be human. It reminds me of a very small exchange in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Now, I read that to my second graders last year. And there's a little exchange in there between the children and Mr. Beaver when they're on their way to meet Aslan for the first time. And they're asking about him. And Mr. Beaver says, "Well, he's a great lion." And one of the children says, "Is he a tame lion?" And Mr. Beaver says, "Oh, no. He's not a tame lion. But he's very, very good." I think that's the Jesus we find in this gospel today. He's not tame, but he's very, very good. How many times do we find ourselves wanting to identify with the divine Jesus that we find in our gospel readings? We see Jesus speaking in these parables, and we sort of nod to ourselves and inwardly congratulate ourselves and say, "Oh yes, I understand that. I do that. I give to those who are in need. I try to be understanding. I forgive and pray for my enemies. Oh, yes. And yet we're made incredibly uncomfortable when we meet that human side of Jesus. Because we don't want to see that in ourselves, when in reality, that's what we are much, much closer to in our daily lives so often. I think in this moment, Jesus is in need of healing as he encounters this woman. And I think that in speaking with her, Jesus is healed. Because she sort of shakes him up, reminds him what it's all about. And then what do we find right after this story? Well, right after this is another feeding of the multitudes. That's what was happening just before the reading too, if you remember. Before they left in that boat and Jesus walked across water, Jesus fed the multitudes as well. So this is sort of a return to ministry for Jesus, I think. Out of that moment of darkness, he's shaken up. It's an aha moment, an oh yeah moment. And so he heals the daughter that she's concerned for. It's easy to identify with the perfect Jesus, but we are uncomfortable in facing that moment of healing. That moment when we are made uncomfortable with the notion that we too are in need of healing. Jesus calls us into communion, not just at this table, but out in the world. And in that act of communion, communing, being in community with others, we are changed. And that change doesn't just come for those who receive, but for those who give also. If you don't think that David or myself or Pat is changed every week in some way when we distribute communion, then you're wrong. We're changed when we commune with other people, especially in those uncomfortable moments of communion, when we have to face that we are not the picture of perfection ministering to others. We are often just as broken as those that we're reaching out to. In this time of great division, when it seems that everyone is struggling, let us be quick to look into ourselves, to acknowledge the brokenness that we possess, at the same time that we look to the brokenness we seek to fix. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 11 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life for the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest, especially James Sieg.
Let our light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May they also not share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others and those on our prayer list. Margaret, Jean, Steve,
Nicole, J.R., John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Curran, Regina, Irene, Larry and Sally, June, Michael, Joe, Laura, Taylor, Shay, Ed, Doug,
Cecilia, are there other petitions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Beth Carpenter Lackey and Charlie Ingram. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And peace be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you all week.
Always.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Always.
Ascribe unto the Lord the honor due his name, bring offerings, and come into his courts.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us, with all your saints, into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God grant you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you, inspire you, and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
In the name of Christ, alleluia, alleluia.